From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns now brings the opening portion of a message entitled, Dead and Alive. The text is again Romans chapter 6, this time verses 3 through 5. The importance of this chapter would be hard to overstate, for it deals in depth with the Christian's position in Christ. Paul speaks of the old man, unregenerate man as he is in Adam, and the new man, the saved man in Christ. At the moment of salvation, the old man is looked upon as having died with Christ on the cross. The new man is regarded as having been made alive with Christ at his resurrection. This is the believer's position before God, and it lies at the heart of what justification by faith is all about. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 38. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant. There are many occasions in our experience when we may very rightly and with benefit renew our covenant with God. After recovery from sickness, when, like Hezekiah, we have had a new term of years added to our life, we may fitly do it. After any deliverance from trouble, when our joys bud forth anew, let us again visit the foot of the cross and renew our consecration. Especially let us do this after any sin which has grieved the Holy Spirit or brought dishonor upon the cause of God. Let us then look to that blood which can make us whiter than snow, and again offer ourselves unto the Lord. We should not only let our troubles confirm our dedication to God, but our prosperity should do the same. If we ever meet with occasions which deserve to be called crowning mercies, then surely, if he hath crowned us, we ought also to crown our God. Let us bring forth anew all the jewels of the divine regalia which have been stored in the jewel closet of our heart, and let our God sit upon the throne of our love, arrayed in royal apparel. If we would learn to profit by our prosperity, we should not need so much adversity. If we would gather from a kiss all the good it might confer upon us, we should not so often smart under the rod. Have we lately received some blessing which we little expected? Has the Lord put our feet in a large room? Can we sing of mercies multiplied? Then this is the day to put our hand upon the horns of the altar and say, Bind me here, my God, bind me here with cords, even forever. Inasmuch as we need the fulfillment of new promises from God, let us offer renewed prayers that our old vows may not be dishonored. Let us this morning make with him a sure covenant. Because of the pains of Jesus, which for the last month we have been considering with gratitude.
Trust the heart of your Father when the answer
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Continuing the studies in Romans, we come to Romans chapter 6. We'll be dealing with verses 3 through 5, but we will read the first 5 verses together at this time. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this brief reading from his own precious and inspired word for his name's sake. When dealing with this section of Romans 6, it is particularly important to do something that you should always do when you come to Scripture, but that is to keep it strictly in its context. Particularly important to remember that here Paul is answering the abominable suggestion that since God's grace superabounds over all our sin, we should sin all the more just to give God the chance to be glorified by even more abounding grace. Some people obviously were taking that out of what Paul was teaching. When he said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, there comes this carnal response. Shall we continue in sin then, in order that grace may abound? He answers first, in the second verse, with the general argument that since we are justified in union with Christ, and therefore died unto sin in Christ and with Christ, we cannot continue to live in sin as our natural and preferred element. And then he sets out through the first 14 verses, and indeed beyond, he sets out to explore the things that believers ought to know about their position in Christ and how they should act upon that knowledge. Last week, taking an overview of those first 14 verses, I pointed out that the three key words are know, reckon, and yield. And the order is significant. Know. Come to understand the gospel. Not just some little part of the gospel. Not some caricature of the gospel. But the gospel itself, as it's here expounded in the Epistle to the Romans. Know it. Know what it means to be in Christ. Know what it means to have died unto sin with Christ. Know what union with Christ is, what justification is. Paul says we ought to know these things. And as we know them, and it's not the knowledge of the intellect merely, it is the knowledge of faith. It is such a knowledge that leads us to commit our very souls unto Christ as He's here revealed in the gospel. When we have come to know this, then we can take our stand upon it. We can reckon on it. We can count on it. We can make our calculations for life on this solid basis. We can respond to the various trials, troubles, and temptations that come our way, the various situations of life. Instead of simply reacting to the situation, we go back to basics. We get our feet on what we know to be true. However we feel, however our situation appears, we get back to the solid ground of what we know to be true, and we take our stand on that. We reckon on the truth of the gospel. And then, having reckoned, we yield our bodies, the members of our bodies, as instruments of God unto righteousness, and not instruments of sin to serve Satan and self. So we looked at these three key words in this sixth chapter of Romans. Now today, we commence a more detailed study of Paul's argument. I was at first going to do this entire chapter in maybe 2 to 3 studies. But when I looked again at chapter 6, I realized that here we're dealing with things that really perplex many, many Christians. Here we're dealing with a chapter which I have already shown and will show a little more tonight, has been severely abused by people who think in all sincerity that they're teaching what the Word of God says, and in actual fact they are perverting what the Word of God says, and they're teaching for truth the doctrines of men. many of you will have grown up with some of those perversions of Romans 6 and will have accepted them as truth. Not only so, there are things that are written here that many Christians don't quite grasp, and therefore they find that they have the struggle of making their experience come into line with what is written. And very often that leads to great frustration. So as I have thought and seen just how detailed is Paul's exposition here, I have put the brakes on a little. I had hoped to be through the whole of Romans 6 by another week or so. Well, it may be a week or two beyond that. And so we're going to look a little at this detailed argument. But as we approach this, we'll see that Paul's consistent argument through all the sections of Romans 6 is that our justification is the basis, and indeed it is the guarantee of our sanctification. Now, approaching verses 2 and 3, I want to repeat what I've said already, that we need to keep clearly in mind Paul's purpose. We must not come to this and extract some words, separate them from their context, and then start to build a whole system of teaching on that extracted passage so that we end up teaching something that Paul never had in mind. Especially remember what I said last Lord's Day. We noted then that this text, this portion of Scripture, describes the state of every believer in Jesus Christ. Every believer died unto sin. That comes as a shock to a lot of people. This is a description of the state of every believer in Christ without exception. This is a statement of something that is factual, something that is true. It is not something we wish for. It is not something that is held out as a higher standard of Christian living for something of a spiritual elite. Yet, many preachers, holiness preachers, have come to this to call God's people to a sort of second blessing, to entire sanctification. They exhort God's people to make a decision, to identify themselves by faith with Christ in his death, in order that they might die, in order that they should cease to feel the pull and the power of sin at all in their lives. In other words, they take Romans 6 instead of being a description of every Christian's state in Christ, and they make it to be the possibility of a higher level of experience for some Christians. Now, once you understand what I've said, that this is descriptive of a state, a standing that is true of every Christian equally upon his believing on Christ, you will see that this entire sanctification usage of Romans 6 is entirely without warrant. Their whole argument stands Paul's words on their head, confusing the state of justification with the experience of sanctification. And however hard it is to grasp this, you must take Paul as he intends himself to be understood. You must understand that dying here doesn't speak at all. Now, I want you to grasp this. Because there is a sense in which in sanctification you die more and more unto self and unto sin and live more and more unto God. That's quite true. You mortify the deeds of the body. That is true. But that's not the truth that Paul is dealing with in Romans 6. In Romans 6, the dying does not describe an experience. It's not subjective at all. It's not describing our experience. This is a word that Paul is using to describe and define an objective reality, a legal fact on which God bases all his dealings with his believing people. Now that's Paul's central idea here. And as we come to verses 3 to 5, we'll see that he's arguing that believers in Christ cannot continue to live in sin. They cannot continue to have sin as the reigning principle of their lives, because they are one with Christ, both in his death and in his resurrection. Now that means that when they were justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they died unto sin and they came alive unto God, which means that they now have a new life, and it's not the old life of sin. Now that in a nutshell is the argument. We're going to look at it more carefully, and this is just the theme of dead and alive. Two important words. You can sum up the teaching of the text, and some of you may wish that I would be this brief and just give you the 3 points and let you all go home. But since people tell preachers they only work one day a week, well, they should at least work that day. But notice this. For believers, the old man died. Notice this carefully again in verse 2. How shall we that are dead? No. Exactly what Paul said. How shall we? We who died. And as I've pointed out in past studies, correlating this with other statements in the chapter, that's dying in the death of Christ. That's when we died. The old man died in Christ's death. Second, the new man lives in Christ's resurrection. The old man, the old self, died at the cross. The new man, the new self, lives in Christ's resurrection. And now we, as we walk about in this world, we live in the light of this new reality. And that is what Paul is establishing.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.